Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Hey, Brad. Have you recovered from last week yet?
No, not really. I'm kind of wondering why we're even recording tonight. Didn't we record a month's worth of episodes already?
Actually, yes, we did, pretty much.
But we made people listen to 2 hours worth of us talking. I'm sorry, and thus we're going to continue, I take it.
It was a mega episode spectacular.
That's right, it was spectacular. So, now that we've completed the mega episode spectacular, we've wasted all of the D23 topics. What does that actually leave us to discuss?
To follow up on some of the D23 topics.
So we gave people 2 hours of D23 topics, and that just wasn't enough.
I guess not, because there are several things that I, after going back and listening to that episode, realized that I had not said. So...
Okay, so what do you want to said?
Here's round two, I guess. The first thing is, for the Skyliner, when they announced it, they showed some images of, like, the cars with the wraps on them, and we talked about the wraps, but what we didn't talk about is what the cars themselves, like what the vehicles themselves are going to look like. Well, so we talked a little bit about how many people would fit, you know, could you put a scooter in there? How many people, you know, could you seat in one? And I thought maybe two people on each side, and then if you needed to put a scooter, you could maybe fold up one side. But the pictures that they showed of, like, the wraps and stuff kind of make it look like they look like the old Skyway vehicles. You know, the smaller, less, more, you know, Disneyland, Disney World Skyway, and less like the vehicles that you would ride, say, to, like, the top of a mountain in.
Yes, yeah, it looks much more like the, what, maybe if it's wide, 6-passenger sort of thing.
Yeah, open air, although they won't be open air because they, you know, will have wraps on the windows, but they look like the older open air type of things. So, which if they're not open air and they don't have air conditioning, that's going to be a muggy, muggy mess.
I think they're going to have, they have to have air conditioning. It's Florida, dude.
I know.
It's Florida and they're going to be in the sun.
I hope they have air conditioning.
Like, no, that just seems wild to me that they would not. Well, but again, we need to see actual. We're going to have to see actual vehicles before we can say much about this. Because
I wanted to follow up, and the discussion I wanted to have last week was less, you know, do we know what they look like, and more, what do you think they'll look like? You know, what do you think that they would go with a larger, you know, maybe 8-person gondola? Or would they go with more of a Skyway type, you know, just smaller gondola vehicle?
No, I think 8 is probably going to be, you know, at least something like that, just because otherwise you end up like splitting up a lot of parties and making things a lot more convoluted than I guess what they need to be. I think 8 at least. But again, based off of what we have seen, it doesn't look like they'd be much bigger than that, though. Okay, so
8 is pretty big.
So let's both agree that we're basing this off of like a single image, right? Because essentially there were two images that were released. The one that was just like the head-on wraps with all four of the like demo wraps, and then that one image, which is like first-person perspective through the window, looking at the other cable cars. And that's what we're basing all of what we're talking about on, right?
And I would say that at this point we have left the images behind and are now just speculating about what we think they would do. Because that's the conversation that I wanted to have last week.
Okay.
Was, like, they have released this image that makes it look like old Skyway cars. Do you think that they would actually do that? Not, you know, do you think these images are valid?
But I look at those images and I say, okay, so... This should be some basis of, you know, what we should expect.
But to fit 8 people, well, I mean, you're looking at the size of a, you know, like a small car.
Yeah, yeah. Why wouldn't you have that? What's wrong with it?
That just seems too large for what they're doing.
I don't know, dude. I I think you could easily fit eight, you know, eight would be extremely simple, I think, because then all you have to do is really kind of increase the width of the car. I mean, you could even go, what, like 12 and increase the length of the car and add a middle seat.
Yeah, I'm just wondering about navigating all those turns and stuff. Like, you start to get pretty dang bulky and big at that point.
Yeah, but
I don't know.
Again,
I think
like
I may be having trouble like just visualizing it.
But you brought up at the beginning that, you know, the what we're seeing looks more like Skyway than it looks like the stuff that goes up a mountain. But I think at the end, we're going to have something that's closer to what goes up a mountain. You know, not fully to the extent that some of those are, where they're just like, ridiculously huge. You know, where it's like a 20 person or something. I don't think that's what we're going to get. I could definitely be wrong there. But yeah, I don't foresee a 4-person, because I feel like that is just too small. And, you know, it's not going to move enough people, number one. Number two, you're going to have a lot of people who would avoid it just because it's going to require splitting their party and stuff like that. So, I don't know. That's my take. I think 8 to 12 is kind of what they're going to be looking at. But you're thinking less, huh?
I think 4 to 6 is more where I think they're going to go, and I guess we'll see.
And then they're going to have the 30-person supersize one, and we're both going to be like, oh, completely and totally wrong about that.
So another thing that we didn't get to talk about last week, much like the Star Wars hotel that's going to have windows that give you a view out into space, apparently the Mission Space restaurant is also going to do that. So basically when you walk in, the windows will look out into space instead of looking out over Epcot.
Which is to say that it's not going to have any windows.
Right. It'll be screens. Which, I guess is okay. For me, the make or break point of that is, are the windows dynamic? And how dynamic are they? The concept art shows a spaceman floating outside the window.
Also known as an astronaut.
Whatever, man.
Spaceman.
But if it's a Russian guy, they're cosmonauts. I was trying to be inclusive.
Oh, okay. Okay.
A space person, excuse me.
There you go.
and if I get an astronaut or the ISS or, you know, a spaceship floating out like across the window every once in a while, I'm all over that. If the Earth would realistically rotate around the restaurant,
I think the restaurant is going to be located above the Earth, and therefore you're going to see it, you know, passing by underneath, as it were. I mean, because if you look at, and again, we have to base this off of concept art once again, but you're kind of seeing the curvature of Earth at the horizon point, I guess. It's not like you're so far away that you just see the Earth sitting there. Like, it's as though you were traveling directly above it, and essentially the bottom of the restaurant is positioned so that it is pointed toward the Earth.
Yeah.
Right? So the entire viewport is not taken up by the Earth. There's the Earth at the bottom of the viewport, followed by black space. So it wouldn't surprise me to see the Earth. And not only would it not surprise me, but I would almost expect to see the Earth kind of traveling below you as you travel around the Earth.
Right. And so I wonder my fear is, what is the B mode? Are the windows just going to be off, you know, black? Or do they are they going to have some sort of scrim that they can, you know, raise up out of the floor or something? Because that's what worries me about not having natural light. And outside is, yeah, I think it's going to look awesome, but when it's broken, which I'm not saying Walt Disney World's unreliable or anything like that. I'm just saying, like, stuff breaks.
Yeah, and yeah. Nothing is perfect all the time.
Right. And so what could you do for a B mode of that if you didn't have, you know, real windows.
See, they're gonna dress the cast members up as astronauts, and they're just gonna like walk by every so often
and do like a fifth grade choir play.
Absolutely, and it's gonna be amazing. Yeah, no, I do see your point, but you know, looking at the River Ride and the new Guardians of the Galaxy, so River Ride, the Avatar River Ride, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Guardians of the Galaxy, and we've seen B modes for both of those. Now, both of those B modes deal with for when the audio animatronics go down, and you know they both are using video as their backup, but they seem to be well planned B modes. So, I think Disney is considering what should we do now. Of course, with both of those, if both things should go down, I think there probably is no C mode, but. You know, they've planned a B mode. So my point is both of those have very well thought out B modes, I think. So I expect them to have something well thought out for this as well. Either that or I would kind of be down with the cast member. Like what happens if this restaurant becomes kind of the Jungle Cruise, right? Where it's designed and it's built as this thing that's supposed to be really serious and it becomes almost a parody of itself
when it's broken.
No. So all the time, like at some point they're like, oh wait, the people like it a lot better when we have the cast member doing the moonwalk by in an astronaut suit. Let's go with that. That's the stuff that works.
Oh, that would make me sad.
I don't actually think that it will. So yeah, it's a slight concern. The other option is it's unlikely that all of the windows would go out. Possibly one of the windows would go out. So maybe you just don't seat anybody in that section or something.
Oh, well, I guess that could work. Yeah,
I know. But... I know. That's a tough one right there. Woo! Don't seat people where it's broken. That's why I should be getting paid the big bucks, Disney.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So this isn't necessarily a missed opportunity to have a conversation, but minivans are available to use. I think if you're staying at Yacht and Beach, they are available to you.
Yay! There are so many. I mean, they have pictures of them at the boardwalk and the yacht club. So I don't know about like beach, because beach is separate from yacht club, correct?
Yeah, kind
like
of.
It's got its own front desk and all that stuff, right?
Yeah, I just always think of it as Yacht and Beach Club.
Oh, so do I. But since the Dub to Dub Magic article that we're linking, is only saying boardwalk and yacht, I don't want anybody like rolling out of the beach club being like, "Where's my minivan?"
Technically, they are separate.
Yes. Well, and so yeah, this doesn't fall under missed conversation, but this still falls under follow up because minivans were one of the many things we discussed. In fact, the mini E-vans, if you recall correctly.
Oh, no. I was hoping you forgot about that.
That's right. No, I remember. I remember what we're supposed to be calling these things. But yeah, so they have rolled out to the boardwalk and yacht club.
Oh, man. So many puns.
With the anticipated $20 per trip. Which I've actually seen some people who have run the numbers, and there are definitely areas where that is competitive with what Uber is charging. Like if you get the, what is it called, the Uber X or whatever?
Yeah.
Which is essentially the larger vehicle, correct?
Well, Uber X is the one where people just use their own car. And then you have Uber Black, which is black car, and then Uber XL is an SUV.
Okay, so maybe it's Uber XL. I don't know. I can't keep all of these things straight. But essentially, you know, what I was seeing is if you compare apples to apples, this actually is not that far off.
A three-row SUV from Uber to a three-row SUV from Disney.
Right. At that point, you're really kind of talking about the same dollar amount. And so I think there's definitely an advantage to be had here in that you have a Disney cast member rather than random, which... I don't know. I say that I feel a little bit weird sometimes with Uber, but at the same time, I've never had a bad Uber experience. Like I've always really enjoyed the drivers that I've gotten. So
yeah, I've had very few bad Uber experiences, but when you're at Disney, it's nice to be driven by someone who works for the company.
Right. Yeah. You expect that something extra that Disney brings.
Right.
By getting a Disney cast member. The one thing that I'm kind of wondering about, so, you know, Lyft has always, for at least a long time, has had tipping available in their app.
Yeah.
Uber has tipping available, which is a good thing because...
In some places. It doesn't really matter. We're not an Uber podcast, but Uber tipping is a new thing that they're testing for
okay.
now.
Okay, so ride sharing is typically something you tip for, just like with a cab, it's something you're usually expected to tip for. When you take your Disney Magical Express, they kind of expect, you know, you have the sign that tells you that tipping is okay for exceptional service or whatever. What's going to be the tipping thing with mini e-vans?
I doubt that tipping is going to be a thing, just because you're not expected to tip your Disney bus driver. You know, like, if you're on a bus from your hotel to a park, you are not expected to tip your bus driver. And I think that $20 is, you know, plenty to pay and not expect to have to tip, since it's a Disney employee. You know, Magical Express is not run by Disney. Uber is obviously not run by Disney. But I would think that since it's a Disney employee and it's kind of doing the same job as the buses, that tipping would be something that is not going to be necessary. But I would say, you know, be smart with your minivan trip. Don't take a minivan trip from the Contemporary Resort to Magic Kingdom, because you can walk there in 10 minutes. You know, make sure when you're getting a minivan, you know that, like, it's going to be $20, whether it's a 5-minute drive or a 20-minute drive. So make it worth it.
Yeah, and so I do see your point that it very likely will be transportation employees, but at the same time, I tip the Bell Services guy if he, you know, rolls the cart to my room with all my stuff on it. Yeah. I tip the wait staff at a full service restaurant inside of Disney. Those are Disney employees, but it's a full service thing, and I'm expected to tip, and so I do tip.
Right, but you never tip the bus driver.
No, but I never tip the bus driver when I'm in the city either, right?
Right.
But if I take a cab or I take, you know, an Uber or a Lyft or whatever, I always tip those people. So, you see what I'm saying?
What a conundrum, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Who will be the first to tell us whether or not they are tipping in the mini e-vans? I have not.
Yeah.
I've seen photos of them parked at Boardwalk and at Yacht Club. I have yet to see a review of a mini e-van trip. So
what you have to do is watch as other people are getting out of their minivans.
But what if they're like the, you know, and I've never been able to do this, but what if they're like the slick person who, you know, kind of hands it over as they do the handshake? Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. If they do that, dude, I will never even know that it happened.
Well,
I will be
just
completely
shout at them.
Excuse me. Did you
just tip your driver?
Yeah. Yeah. And how much am I expected to tip? So that I don't offend my driver and, you know, I don't know, get a really bad mini e-van next time.
Well,
something.
And see, the other thing is, I'm sure you'll be able to pay for minivans with your Magic Band.
Ooh. Yeah. So at that point, kind of like with the complaint that so many of the drivers had with Uber for so long, it's got to be like something that you can select what you're going to tip, or else
right. It's
not going to work, right?
Are they
going to
have a little iPad in the back of the cab that just says, would you like to tip?
I don't know. I'm really kind of
confused. But you'll definitely,
now.
They will definitely, without a doubt, to me, have a Magic Band reader in the van. I mean, if they don't have that's crazy.
Now they definitely won't, just because it'll really, just because Jeremy guaranteed it. And when Jeremy guarantees stuff, you know it's going to be good. So yes, we don't know about tipping. We don't know about magic, though I agree. I think Magic Bands are either currently a part of this or will be very shortly, because I can't see them not letting you use the payment method they want you to use fully while you're on property. But yeah, so they're out and about, and we will see what happens next. And, we did finally find out that Disney said the you remember the mission space update where they're completely redoing green and they're updating orange, which I assume means fixing stuff on orange.
Mm-hmm.
So according to the Disney blog, those are supposed to be done in August, which if you're, I feel like wasn't the original announcement for that repair that it was supposed to be like ridiculously short? Because I remember when we recorded the first time that we were talking about this, we said it would be nice if they did an update, but that's not enough time. So hopefully they just fix a couple, because I feel like it was supposed to be like a 2 week.
Yeah, I was going to say 3 or 4 week downtime.
Yeah.
Not near long enough to do any kind of major refurbishments.
Right, and that was our comment at the time. And now we find out that, that's what they're going to do.
Yeah.
And the Disney Parks blog says this is going to be done in, you know, or essentially the title to this says, New Adventures Begin at Mission Space in August at Epcot. But then Dub2Dub Magic came out and said, they said August, but if you look at the calendars, the ride is showing closures through the end of September.
Well, maybe they're going to have closures as in some of the banks of vehicles, like they're going to do them in batches, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, but I think when we're talking closures here, we're talking like you can't get fast passes.
Oh, just closed.
Through the end of... Yeah. So I assume... Yeah, well, it says show... But the latest calendar show the ride closed through the end of September. Again, that's the Dub2Dub Magic article. So, yeah. It's clearly taking longer than they expected.
Yeah. In best case scenario, they just changed the calendar. But I can't imagine that they would have come out and said August, knowing that it was going to take till October.
Right. And like, August...
Like, why,
August,
even, why even say anything at all?
August can mean the very last day of August, and that's still August.
Right.
But yeah, why would you then add another? And
they could have just said the fall. It'll be reopened this fall.
Yeah, and the thing is that when they made this announcement, I think they said August at D23. It was already closed at that point. They've already supposedly have already started the update. So wouldn't they have a good feel? So I'm kind of wondering either A, are they just trying, you know, are they just worried about, but even, I guess even if they're worried, like what happened here that they misjudged this so severely? And I mean, to me, a month is a pretty severe misjudgment.
Yeah. Maybe the intern in charge of the closure calendar forgot to hit submit.
Let's hope that's what it is. And then suddenly it's all going to open back up and... everyone can go and see, you know, because heck, if you're trying to catch that last great movie ride and last Ellen's Energy Adventure before they close forever, and you want to try to hit Mission Space at the same time, you were thinking maybe I have a chance, because they did say August, but with the current calendar, it's like nope, no chance at all. You're gonna have to come and see this, and then. Maybe that's what they're doing. Maybe August 14th that will reopen. Or, you know, what, say August 21st, so that anybody who came to ride those one last time will be gone because their trip will have ended. And they'll be like, ha-ha, suckers, come on back for Mission Space. Kind of like what they did to Brad with when they opened up Pandora. You losers.
Well, and the best thing that they could do is have... You know, a closure until October 1st on the calendar, and then we're done in August, and all of a sudden the closure calendar says it's open. You know, like that's not going to hurt anybody's feelings if it opens early.
It doesn't when you say fall. It doesn't when you say October. It does when you say August, because you have overpromised and underdelivered, which is
no. But I'm saying in this scenario where the calendar says October and they have said August, if the attraction reopens in August and the calendar all of a sudden just gets flipped to open, then they have over delivered according to the calendar. And so there's no downside, you know, for them if they get done in August. The calendar was wrong, and if it takes until October, they can say, oh, well, the calendar said October, and then people who were paying attention to D23 go, well, you said August, and whatever. But if they get done in August, there's no downside.
Yes, I agree, but it's still just weird to me that the calendar is not showing what they said at D23, because
right.
Again, if it was before the closure had happened, that would be one thing, but I'm just curious as to what they got into where they suddenly realized, ooh, that's not working as expected. So I guess we will see, but eventually Mission Space will be reopened with the new thing at some point, hopefully before the new year.
Yeah, and I'm glad that green is not just a neutered orange mission, that it's going to be its own thing.
Agreed.
If it takes a little longer, that's fine. Well, that was a whole episode just following up on our last episode.
So next episode, are we just going to do follow-up of some more stories from D23?
As of right now, we are not, but we'll see what the next week of my thinking long and hard about the 3-hour recording session we had and what all I forgot to say.
There you go. So you heard it from Jeremy, a month and a half of nothing but D23 follow-up.
I today recorded another podcast called Crossed Wires, and they were very gracious in asking me to co-host the episode 12 of their show. It is a technology podcast by two guys named James and Ben. They're both great dudes. They're both Christians, so it's a technology podcast with a little bit of a Christian bend to it. If that sounds like something you would want to listen to, their website is crossedwires.fireside.fm. And it's a really great show. It's really entertaining, and you should go check it out. But as far as we are concerned, that'll do it for this episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. And you can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And until then, have a magical day.